It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Someone sent me the photoshopped or the picture of Diddy and J-Lo and Jay-Z old naked at a alleged freak-off that it got community noted on X. It says this picture is photoshopped using images of J-Lo from her 50th birthday party. Also, she is the one who filed for divorce from Ben Affleck, as confirmed by the AP News. But that's so they got community noted by X.
Okay.
I mean,
So that picture is from what? Her 50th birthday party?
It says it photoshopped using images of J-Lo birthday party. So, I mean, yeah, I thought there was a slim chance it was real, but I'm just like, what? I don't need this in my life. I don't need it. Get it out of my For You. I just got to go to following again. So I just get like Pat Leonard and Jordan Renan and Rich Cimini and Peter Schwartz.
John Heyman.
John Heyman. Bob Nightingale called Francisco Alvarez Wilson Alvarez last night.
Yeah.
God. Oof. That guy makes more mistakes than anybody in sports, covering sports. He really does. And it's all in print, which is different than us. You make a lot of errors, man, Spike Eskin once said. But yes, live on the air, we try to get him corrected right away. Bob Nightingale in print is just, oof.
Ufa is right.
Wilson Alvarez. But no, it's Francisco Alvarez who, man, I tell you, if he somehow breaks out offensively, I mean, this lineup is even better and even more dangerous, and he's just been struggling. It feels like he is, you know, comes up in several situations with men on base. I got no faith in him to get a base hit. He's popping everything up, or he's striking out. He's swinging out of his shoes. So, and you know Carlos Mendoza is seeing it. You know his teammates are seeing it. Got to calm him down a little bit. And I think Jose Iglesias is swinging at a lot of bad pitches. Very uncharacteristic of him, swinging and missing and chasing a lot more than I saw him in the regular season. But those are minor criticisms from yesterday. Mostly a tremendous victory. A little bit dicey in the end, always with Edwin Diaz in the bullpen. But now you're coming home. You got Luis Severino. Game 3 at Citi Field. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And then you got Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees tonight, as you inch closer and closer to a Subway Series.
Hey, at the end of the day, man, this is the NLCS and the ALCS. The Yankees were expected to be here. The Mets were not.
Yeah.
I would just say, like, if you were Francisco Lindor, maybe you can go over to Alvarez and just say, hey, look, man, just take a big deep breath. It's okay. You don't have to try to hit a home run every time you're up there. Because the kid is 22 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's 22 years old, much like Carlos Rodon, a very emotional player. You can see he's always smiling out there. He's, you know, behind the plate. He's moving around a lot. I mean, he's a guy that, like, to me, when he went out this year is when they really dipped. And then when he came back along with the Francisco Lindor meeting,
yeah,
is when their on-the-field stuff really started to take off again.
Sure.
Because they were missing, you know, one of the heartbeats of the team, which is a 22-year-old catcher.
Yeah, he's got to get a little bit of that Mark Vientos, young guy, calm, cold-blooded thing going on.
Yeah, yeah. And it also obviously coincides when Vientos gets called back, you know, from the minors. So yeah. Their young players are going to go through it. And I just think, one thing I will say, Francisco cares. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. He is passionate into it. He's trying his ass off. I just think he's trying too hard. I mean, he's grinding that bat into sawdust every time he's up there, especially when there's runners in scoring position and runners on, and it hasn't worked out for him. And he could have blown the game open multiple times yesterday. So luckily it didn't come back to bite him. The 6 runs were enough, but you'd like to see him break out a little bit just in case some of these other guys have been hitting consistently, go cold for a little bit. You want him to have a day here or there. So I heard, I'm hesitant to even bring this up because I feel like you're going to yell at me, but I heard a conversation and I got more of a positive outlook on it, so maybe you won't get mad that I'm bringing it up. So it was a conversation that C-Mac's having on the overnight that Eddie got involved in. And C-Mac says that the only way that this Mets season that came out of nowhere gets ruined is if they lose to the Yankees in the World Series. Like, everything's gravy, everything's great. We've said, boy, how awesome this is. It completely came out of nowhere. But they end up losing to the Yankees, and all of a sudden the season is ruined. Now, Eddie pipes in, and he says he agrees with this. So as I'm driving in, I'm saying, you know, I understand that point if you're a big Yankee hater. However, this happened once before. in one of my favorite teams growing up. I was 18 years old. It was the 2000 Mets, and ended with the Yankees beating them in the World Series. But I still have great memories. Three games in particular, great memories, where I was at Shea Stadium in the NLDS against Barry Bonds and the Giants. Mm-hmm. Benny Agbayani, 13th inning home run. Bobby Jones comes out, shuts him down, one hit, complete shutout the next day. I told you one of my favorite regular season games ever was June 30th, 2000, that same season. Mets had a 10-run inning against the Braves. It was fireworks night. Piazza hit a home run. It was awesome. So those memories, like, you can't take those away from me. It ended with them losing in the World Series, but they won the NLCS. I remember Mike Hampton was awesome for him that year, and, you know, Timo Perez before it all fell apart for him in the World Series. But, like, I have great memories there. So, like, as frustrating as that would be, like, you can't tell me that that's going to ruin the season. And, like, Eddie's agreeing with that, and it was bothering me.
It did. It totally ruined it. Now, 2015, lost the World Series, but I still have great memories of Wilmer Flores and Cespedes. That I still hold on to. The 4 days in Flushing,
you know what,
thing.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to say. Take your memories and stuff them right now. Let's worry about one pitch, one at bat, one inning, and let's worry about game three versus the Dodgers.
We are
Not worried about whatever cockamamie thing that, you know, the overnight guy, C-Mac, who I think does a great job.
Not cockamamie.
Comes up with out of the blue so we can have a conversation in the middle of the night. I'm not even thinking about that. You know why?
Because three wins away apiece.
I am focused on the Dodgers, and that is it, and that is game three.
You're not playing those. This is what fans talk about.
Yeah, well, you guys can have a good conversation about all of this kind of crap you want, and then when it's all over said and done, then we can all take stock in what the hell happened. Yeah. Just like, you know, in May and June, we wanted to write everything off for the Mets.
We did.
Everybody
did. I did, yeah.
Oh, the Mets, is how you could change the players, change the uniforms, blah, 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 blah. They're always the same. And you know what? This team wasn't the same. And this general manager or the president of baseball operations, not the same. The owner never gave in, nor could he.
Yeah, all right. So I'll end it with this.
God.
I will end it with
guys,
this.
You guys
well, are with this. Chill out.
Oh. You said you're going to make me mad, and you made me mad.
I was hesitant to bring it up because right. I knew you'd have some sort of irrational anger with this. I projected that.
Okay.
But this is one thing I'll say. I tossed this out to Eddie. If you got a friend that you spent a lot of great times with and got great memories, and then that friend got run over by a train, do you forget all the good times that you had with that friend?
No,
you don't. You think about all the good times.
The
right?
guy got run over by a train?
Well, yeah.
That would be horrible.
Of course, but you don't forget all the good times that you had with them.
No, no. And normally, like, if somebody loses a parent in their life, somebody dies.
Yeah.
I what I say is what somebody once said to me when I was putting my father to rest.
Yeah.
They said, you know, we hope that this moment in time brings back all the great memories that you've shared together.
That's all.
And that is true. So I've taken that and have plagiarized and I have written it to other people because right. I thought it was so touching when I received that note.
Right. So
and all I'm saying to you is nobody's dead yet. All right. We are still in the middle of an amazing
run. I'm not saying anybody's dead yet.
Not apples to apples.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
Why?
That's way too extreme.
It's an analogy is what it is. It's an analogy.
It's an extreme analogy. I mean,
well, that's how you really get people to think.
Your best friend got hit by a train?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, the point being is that something might not end the way you want it to, but it doesn't erase all the good things and the good times that you had.
Of course. Exactly.
That's all.
But you didn't have to say somebody's dying.
I just want to hammer my point home. Nobody really got hit by a train in this scenario. I mean, I'm sure people have been hit
by a
train.
Yeah, but you use that as your analogy. I mean, I just, your example, I just...
Yeah.
I don't look at it that way. I'm sorry.
Okay.
How about this one? You have a brother you hate and a brother you love, and the brother you hate kills the brother you love. That's closer. Now tell me to enjoy the good times.
The brother you love, you think of that... Every minute that you spent happy with the brother you love is then erased?
Well, especially if the brother that you hate got away with it.
Now you're going. See, Now, that's extreme. That's extreme. Mine was a little extreme.
You guys are insane.
And I have zero.
All because you want to talk about a potential Subway Series loss to the Yankees.
Yes, because I have zero good memories of 2000, because all my memory is standing in that effing Yankees dugout helping Susan Waldman. I don't know how I got roped into the GD post game, but all I standing there in the damn dugout, happy Yankees running back and forth, freaking Posada, and so I just, that's all I can think of.
All right, well, you got to let it go. Listen, you are enjoying this ride.
Yes.
Because, you know, like, you're the second biggest Met fan I know. The first is right here on my left.
All right.
But I'm just saying, like, just, can we just enjoy the ride and just take it one game at a time, please?
Okay. Sure. We'll do that
before
for you.
We start, you know, doom scrolling about potential situations that we have to handle.
Yeah, we could do, but we could multitask. That's what we're doing. Enjoying the ride, but also thinking, you know, conversations. That's what we do as sports fans.
By the way, you potential doom scroll constantly. That's all you do outside of the sports arena.
Outside of the sports arena, because there is a lot of doom scrolling going on.
That is true.
A lot of crap going on.
Or potential stuff.
Yeah, pot so kettle, black. Scenario.
So much crap going on. Go ahead.
So just to quickly change the subject, yes. Something we learned in the break, that the company Depends is not Depends. It's Depend.
We learned that from the great Emmett Smith.
Right. So he's saying this is Emmett Smith for Depend. And I thought that he just was mispronouncing it. And then the voiceover guy says Depend. We look it up. It's always been Depend. It's not Depends. So when you pick up, I'm wearing Depend.
Because we're thinking, I think they're from the same manufacturer, Procter & Gamble, as Pampers. Right? Yeah. And they're known as Pampers.
Yeah, Pampers.
Right, not Pamper.
Not Pamper. But this is Depend. It's for adults who make wee-wee in their pants, is what Depend is.
Well, I mean, it's incontinence for different reasons.
Yeah. Okay, so Al is telling me that Pat McAfee tweeted something vague people think is Rogers-related.
Oh.
Was he at a Diddy freak off?
Well, let's see. And then everybody under it is just speculating what it means.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Diddy freak off with Salah.
Salah. Salah-la-la-la. But he just said, holy S. Eyes.
But just like 15 minutes ago.
And so what does that mean? Davante Adams is coming to the Jets finally?
No, you know what? I'm not falling for this. I'm not doing it.
You're not?
I'm not doing it.
Okay.
He knows how to entertain. He knows how to bring the audience in. He's messing with people. I'm not doing it. If it's something real, we'll find out later. We got to be above that type of thing.
There's going to be a lot of real happening over there at the Jets. I mean, I don't know if they have a team-only meeting or something. I don't know what they're going to do. But, you know, to lose three games the way that they have lost these three games, and all three games they could have won, and the fact that two of them ended on interceptions.
I think Rob Saleh watched that game last night or not?
Yes.
You think he did?
I did.
It's got to be tough, right?
It's like, got to be miserable.
It's got to be a really, really difficult.
You know what it is? It's but the word, I guess, it is like you're stunned. You're walking around stunned.
Right.
And you're like, what the hell just happened and why did it happen? When you thought you had the answers to fix the problem. And then you find out that somebody thinks that you're the problem. That's got to be hard for, you know. And I had a buddy go through that twice. And it's no fun watching good people go through those things in life.
You know, and Rob Saleh is the type of guy who is not spiteful and not going to root against them. He wants his guys to win. He wants them to turn it around.
He called Jeff Ulbrich and called and said, look, man, we all knew that you're going to be a head coach someday. Go for it. Now, that's the kind of friend and boss he was.
Diana Russini tweets out or posts on X. The Jets have given Hassan Reddick and his reps a short window to seek a trade, per sources. His new representation, Drew Rosenhaus, has been reaching out to teams over the last 12 hours to gauge interest.
He was at the game last night, Drew. Drew Rosenhaus, yeah. On the sideline.
In the mix.
But that doesn't seem like it would...
That's not big news. That wouldn't be something that, you know, that would be shocking to me unless...
Or to make McAfee do the googly eye thing.
Unless it made, you know, the Davante Adams, maybe that was a part of something with Oklahoma, I mean, with the Raiders. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean,
any
this,
sort of stuff.
To me, the eyes thing is like, wow. I don't ever remember Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or anybody else, no matter how frustrated they were, because I put him in that top tier quarterback class.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember them ever saying anything publicly behind the podium the way that Aaron did last night.
Maybe he retires today. Maybe that J-Lo, Diddy, Jay-Z photo just got into Pat McAfee's For You feed.
Yeah,
that
could happen.
Maybe that's what happened. It just snuck its way in there. The Photoshop, that the community notes say Photoshop.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Remember late in the show yesterday, Jerry, you were talking about that Ravens fan who was randomly attacking the Commanders
fan. Yes, and as I said, I didn't know if it was real or not. A lot of people then reached out to me and told me it was a parody. Other people have said no, and now it's been written about in newspapers, so I don't know.
No, it's. I believe it is real, and they did find the guy on Instagram and LinkedIn and all that stuff. So, yeah, not good. I mean, I've never, ever seen anything like that. Mm-mm. As crazy as these sporting events have gotten. It's usually a conflict between two people who are yelling at each other.
Yeah.
These were just two kids walking down, well, kids like maybe 20-something.
Mm-hmm. Kids to us.
Yeah, walking down the sidewalk, and this guy, because they're wearing Commanders jerseys, decides to knock one of them out. Punched the dude square in the jaw, knocks him out, he falls back into a car, grabs the other guy, slams him into a wall, all while his buddy's filming it.
Yeah.
And then they show his face on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Geniuses.
Yeah.
Real geniuses.
I don't know.
Yeah, it makes you want to go to a sporting event, doesn't it? Yeah, let's go to a football game.
It sounds great.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Wear my team's colors.
Yeah, I know.
Tough
Not
one.
Good.
All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. You guys have talked about the Diana Rossini tweet about Hassan Reddick and the agents being allowed to search for a trade partner, but a short window, whatever that means, however much time they're given. This comes the day after, or maybe this was given yesterday, but we learned about it now as the Bills beat the Jets last night 23-20. The interception to seal the game one more time.
Third down and long. Rodgers in the shotgun at the Jet 40-yard line. Takes the snap, drops back. Well protected, looking downfield. Fires a bomb. Up the right side, Mike Williams. Underthrown a bit. Is it intercepted? Down at the 18-yard line it is. It is picked off by Taron Johnson.
And that was Bob Wischusen, Q104.3, Jets Radio Network. You can certainly make that case with a lot of what happened last night. It certainly felt like it. All the Jets needed was a field goal to tie, which sounds crazy because they missed two to take the lead earlier. And a touchdown would have won the game, but instead they give the ball up. So this is the clip we've played with Rodgers all morning, once we found it around 7 o'clock, talking about the interception and what was supposed to happen on the play. The intended receiver on that play was Mike Williams. Here was the long answer from an agitated Rodgers.
Two verticals, you know. Allen's down the seam, Mike's down the red line. So I'm looking at Allen. He puts his hand up, three guys go with him, so I'm throwing a no-look to the red line. And when I peek my eyes back there, he's running a handbreaker. So, it's got to be down the red line.
So were you throwing that spike to come back to it?
No, I was throwing it to the red line, but when I got to about here, I realized he was running an inbreaker, so I had to kind of adjust it a little bit. But the play is two guys vertical, one guy down the seam, one guy on the red line.
And when he says
what
to
him, I'm trying to cough there, too.
You know, I didn't... I looked at Mike Williams at the top of his route. I didn't get the sense that he was cutting in, if that's what Aaron is describing. And this is right after the game when he's talking, but I'm sure he saw it on the Surface tablet.
Right.
But I just, like, I don't, it looks to me like Williams is going out to the sideline.
Is he going out to the sideline to go after the ball after it's thrown? I don't know.
I don't know either.
And when he says, I came to hear, he was showing in the press conference, like, his arm slot, like he changed.
Yeah, I know. And he's obviously very detailed. He wants everybody to be on the same page. You know, the other interesting thing that came out of this last night was Troy Aikman saying what he said about this whole thing unraveling.
I did not hear this.
Yeah, well, he said, I could see this thing start to unravel, or I could see this whole thing unraveling. Yeah. I mean, you could make that assumption by how it's gone so far.
He looks so annoyed. I could see it, too.
This game against the Steelers is so big because they got the Patriots after that. If they lose this one, then unravel it may be. But if they get 4-4, then there's life. It's as easy as that.
Here was Sauce Gardner on SNY. A lot of blame, obviously, but he puts it square on his shoulders with the way he played.
That's my fault. I got to bring some energy. Everybody else can mouse up my energy. It's my fault.
I guess he's saying they played flat. I don't know. I'm not sure what the question was. Interesting. A lot of penalties, yet again. 11 of them on each team. Ill-timed ones, though, from the Jets for sure. One negated a touchdown. Here was Garrett Wilson.
It's definitely frustrating, but you know, we're the ones in control of it, so we got to fix it. We got to, and we plan to.
And then we played a couple of interesting ones from the Bills this morning. One where Deion Dawkins called them a bunch of weirdos again. And also...
Jesus.
And also,
I don't know what that means.
Also, Ray Davis, who sounded like they rolled right over the Jets, specifically on that first drive.
Taking it to them. You know, taking the physicality to them. Understanding that, you know, maybe some guys may not want to tackle. So it's about just going out there and bringing the physicality, lowering your pads, running behind your pads, and getting those tough, tough yards. Again, you know, 2 to 3 yards may turn into 4 to 5.
And that is what happened, specifically on a couple drives, as he ran with a purpose last night.
This is C.J. Mosley.
Yeah, understood.
I mean, you know, the fact that Ray Davis would say that, meanwhile, Breece Hall outrushes him and outplays him. Now, he had a great first series, don't get me wrong. Made a couple nice catches, but, I mean, this game was, they both scored 3 points in the second half.
Yeah.
And there were 2 missed field goals by the Jets and, you know, this unfortunate interception that ends the game. I mean, the Jets had the opportunity to win the game.
Several times.
You would think that the way that the Buffalo Bills are talking about this after this game is over, that they just won the game by 20 points.
Here's Deion Dawkins.
We're gladiators, you know. Like I said, I wore green. It's a stunt on them. Kept my shirt off. It's a stunt on them. I did exactly what I said that I was going to do, and the truth always presents itself. You know, I said that they a bunch of weirdos, right? So, hey, it's showing. So, hey, it is what it is.
Ill-timed locker slam there. So there you go. Jets and Steelers coming up on Sunday. The Bills now 4-2 and in control of the division. The Jets now 2-4. Jerry Jones was on the Fan in Dallas. Matter of fact, he might still be on. And the way the interview began was, you know, how we doing, Jer? And it certainly sounds like he knows the fans in Dallas not happy with him.
Well, I'm pulling up to the plane, and we've got a Atlanta meeting today with the NFL. And I will go and come get back sometime tonight. But it's probably a good time to be laying low and get out of town. could be dangerous. Could be dangerous out here.
I think they hate him in Dallas right now.
Why do they hate him?
My guess would be, and I see it on social media too, they think that he's just comfortable making money and winning enough games to be good, but never doing enough to win a Super Bowl. That's what I think the fan base would tell you. I like the guy. I think he spends a ton of money. I think he gives them all the luxuries they need. They just don't do it. So, but yeah, good awareness there from good old Jer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's get to the baseball. Last night, the late game was the Yankees and the Guardians. Game one of the ALCS.
Here's the 2-1. Swinging and hit high in the air to deep right center field. And that ball is gone! Into the Yankee bullpen. I never thought it was going that far. It did. And the Yankees take a 1-0 lead. A Soto photo.
And it sure was. It just
Juan Soto!
In that blustery wind that just kept carrying and carrying. Later in the game, Giancarlo Stanton homered. Carlos Rodon outstanding. Yankees beat the Guardians 5-2. Here was Stanton on yes. Forget what I did. How about Soto doing it? As he did in the third to get us going.
I mean, he's the man. He sees everyone well. So it's just awesome he gets start us off tonight and get us going.
He might see everyone well, but he doesn't see anybody better than he sees Alex Cobb. He is now 9-for-13 against Cobb with a couple of home runs. How come?
I don't know. He's a veteran player, you know. He's been in the league for a while. I feel like he he's a guy who's not scared. He's pounding the strike zone, so he's gonna give you pitches to hit.
And he did that. In terms of Rodon and the six innings and the nine Ks and only three hits to give up the one run, is this one of your best starts?
It's up there. I've never pitched an ALCS before, so this is my first time. So I mean, there's no bigger stage in baseball, so I would say it's definitely up there.
And it's obviously he's been here for 2 years. That's his biggest moment as a Yankee, biggest positive moment as a Yankee.
Yeah, not even close.
So this is what happens when you pitch and you perform like this. This is how you're going to be treated from your fan base. They're going to love you. And this is kind of like the crux of what goes on here. You know, you just signed a, 6-year, $162 million contract?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
I'm like, you either perform up to it or you don't. And in this case, last night, he did exactly what the Yankee fan wanted from him.
And gets him out to a great start with Gerrit Cole going now in game two against Tanner Bibee. We will have it for you on The Fan. First pitch with John and Susan at 7:38. Off day for the Mets and Dodgers. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, in L.A., a big four spot and one specific at bat early on.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swing and a drive in the air, pretty well hit right center. Paez back at the track, near the wall. It is gone! A grand slam for Mark Vientos on a 3-2 pitch. He clears the bases, hitting it into the pavilion in right center field.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey Radio.
A salami!
Made it 6-0 Mets. They would wind up beating the Dodgers 7-3 as Starling Marte would tack on an RBI single in the ninth. Here was Carlos Mendoza talking about the Vientos home run, but also Francisco Lindor, who led off the game with a long ball.
I think the way they were taking the pitches, he was with ease. He was on time, ready for a pitch in your zone, but if he wasn't there, the way they took it, he was pretty telling.
So a very good approach from those two, and specifically the lineup in general. Here was Vientos, so they walked Lindor with the base open to get to him, and he certainly came through.
I want them to walk Lindor in that situation, put me up there, and at that point, I was just, let me simplify the game, just get one run in. Get a walk, like whatever I can do to add another run to the score.
And in terms of the pitching, Sean Manaea goes 5+ for the win. You had Stanek, you had Maton, and then Diaz closing it out. First, Manaea, who handled Ohtani with ease, even on one at bat, made him look like he was just waving at a pitch.
I mean, it's great. I mean, he's just one of the guys in the lineup. I'm just trying to do my job and put up zeros, and obviously he's very talented. So I'm just trying to get on to the next guy and do my job.
And now comes Walker Buehler.
Yep.
And he has been anything but average. And this is a game where the Mets are going to jump all over this guy early and get on him and separate themselves early in this game. And then hopefully Luis Severino is going to have his best stuff. I mean, he's been good for the Mets. He's been solid. And Walker Buehler has not been what we remember as one of the top pitchers in baseball. You know, he's had a very, very below average year.
Below average. Game 3, Citi Field tomorrow night. From the NHL, the Rangers beat the Red Wings. First time this season, we hear the great Sam Rosen.
High sticking at 16:57. And it's good! Zibanejad made the play. Kreider looked like he tipped it in. It's a power play goal!
Yep, yeah. Sam Rosen on MSG, Kreider on the Storm, Chris Kreider, part of a 4-1 win over Detroit. Nika Zibanejad, a goal and two assists. Riley Smith, his first Rangers goal. Here was Mika.
I think confidence-wise, when you get one, you get more energy. That's you feel like you get a little bit of a swag back too when you can skate a little bit more and not be tired. So
okay, great. So we had a lot of energy. The Rangers win. Islanders beat the Avalanche 6-2. Right, and the Devils shut out Utah 3-0. Jake Allen 20 saves. You got the Devils at Carolina coming up later tonight. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas: Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. So the guys had a caller today that talked up his life, starting with a special day he had at Citi Field, being the service member of the game.
I got to meet Severino, memory of a lifetime.
I'm a calm baseball guy. Coach traveled at a high level. My son was the catcher of the year at Kellenberg the year before. Logan O'Hoppe, funny enough, was with the Angels, you know.
Yeah.
Luca actually played the same year at Kellenberg with my son. But anyway, I quit my junior year in high school in St. Louis, Missouri. My father, who was a Vietnam vet, showed up and wanted me to bring him to practices. You know, he pitched minor league ball for the Indians, Ohio State basketball scholarship. I shut down. I quit. The only championship in my high school's history, and I wasn't a part of it because of that moment, right?
Yeah, Joe, I mean, listen, there's a lot of information about your life. As Al would say, yeah, it's a good story for you. Yeah, I wanted to learn more about that caller. You know, there was not enough information there.
It's like my second cousin, Billy. And he one time met Luis Severino. That was the greatest day of his life.
Right.
And then it also reminded me that my third, well, actually my freshman year at St. Louis University. That was great, but my dad was having some issues. So I didn't go back to him when he said, just play ball. So I went back to St. Louis University. And it reminded me of my second cousin's friend, who also one time, he was a wrestler. And he wasn't able to make a weight class. Yeah. But...
I think we got a lot of emotional callers this morning. Is this what happens when the Jets lose?
Apparently so. And I would like to add that I cut out a lot of that call.
Yeah.
That's how long he went on for.
And my man got everything.
He did. Yes, he did. So, moment of the day.
I wonder if he had like a bet with a buddy. I guess I can stay on and get as much stuff about my life in there as they'll let me. I mean...
Yeah.
Think about that.
And I want to let him go. You know, his service member, the Vietnam vet, and everything, you know, his dad. I was like, well, you want to pay respect, but it just got out of control.
Going and going.
By the way, hit the championship home run in my little league.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So Jerry Recco played a couple of Jerry Jones cuts from his weekly spot that happens right around now, this hour on 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas. So I know Jerry didn't get to it. Jerry Recco didn't get to this part of it because he was in here. But apparently when being asked, this is one of the guys who's covering the team, it says Cowboys owner Jerry Jones was as fired up as I've ever heard him doing one of these weekly radio interviews. He was very defensive when asked about not making more moves in the offseason. This is what he said. Quote, "This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this NFL meeting I'm going to today with 32 teams here, you geniuses."
You get your ass kicked at home in front of your fans, and you can't win a home game, and you're getting blasted. I mean, what does Jerry Jones expect to have happen?
You really think you're gonna sit here with a microphone and tell me all the things that I've done wrong without going over the rights? Listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans, a lot of great listeners, and I'm very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. One of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody has ever analyzed was by the Cowboys. It was an idiot that did that. So idiot things can turn into good decisions. Smart things can turn into bad decisions. The facts are when you make one, you don't really know if it's going to be good or not at the time. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Oof. Wow.
I'll get someone else to ask these questions.
Wow. You know, the amazing thing is they won a tough game at the Steelers.
Yeah.
And that was the game that was delayed, the Sunday night game that was delayed. Remember that? Then they come back and they end up getting drilled by the Lions. This has been a weird season for them. They won two out of their last three games. Their next opponent, obviously, is the bye week. And then they come back and they go at San Francisco, at Atlanta, Philadelphia, Houston.
Yeah. We knew they had a tough schedule in the beginning. It's just they're not going anywhere.
Everybody in the NFC East has a tough schedule.
Yeah.
That's why the NFC East is still up for grabs. And, you know, much like if you're the Giants and you are the Jets, you still have a long way to go here. And it's easy to get caught up in the rhetoric that is around your clubs, around your players, and you can absolutely be torn down 100%, especially around here because there's so much of it. But if you could do what the Mets did, you could do what the Knicks did last year, you can actually find that there's solace in winning, and winning galvanizes the locker room. And maybe the guy, see, this is where the interesting thing about what Troy Aikman said about last night comes in my eyes, it's true, because losing permeates like just a crappy feeling around everybody. And there has to be strong personalities that are going to will that team to win and to stay together in times like this. That's why I'm so shocked that Aaron Rodgers said what he said last night about Mike Williams and the red line and everything else. I mean, I'm really shocked by it, because that's not really what a leader should be doing.
Yeah, and if you missed it earlier, basically, I mean, he's going through a lot of technical X and O talk, but really what he was doing was saying that interception's not my fault. The guy was running the wrong route, and that's on him.
And I understand that they've only played 6 games together. They haven't played a lot of football together. It feels like Aaron Rodgers has been here for 10 years. He's only played 6 games for the New York Jets.
I know, but every time you bring that up, I give you all these examples of young quarterbacks in these similar situations who only played X amount of games with their players, and they look a hell of a lot more organized than the Jets.
If you want to give me a real good comp to what Aaron's going through, I would say it would be Kirk Cousins. And Kirk has now figured it out, and he's starting to figure out what's going on with his players. They're having success. Things are going relatively smoothly down there in Atlanta. Remember the first couple of weeks, man, it was like a lot of mistakes were being made, and you got to get used to playing with your players. And there's nothing worse than an older player trying to bring along younger players who either aren't buying into what he's telling them or aren't respecting him or whatever may be the case. I don't know what that could be, but I'm sure he's frustrated. But you got to realize, you know, this is 6 games into his career here as a New York Jet. And I know it hasn't been perfect, but they've been in every single one of these games these last 3 weeks and could have easily won these games.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with you that the season is not over. I can't see a ton of positive about the way that they have played on offense. A little bit better last night, a little bit better. Breece Hall involved, 400 yards of offense, but they're still losing games by being a sloppy team that can't
penalties.
Get it done in
penalties,
the big moments. I mean, Mike Tomlin says they made more necessary plays in the biggest moments. He always says that. That's what the game comes down to. We didn't make the necessary plays in the big moments. They made the necessary plays in the big moments of the game. And the Jets don't do that.
These games are tight, man, you got to win the fourth quarter. And unfortunately for the Jets, that hasn't happened the last 3 weeks.
Mo in Brooklyn, what's going on, Mo?
Do you know how hard it is to hit the post while you hit kicking a field goal? You know the difficulty of that? I think they should be a play that you predetermine you're going to aim for it. And you get 2 points if you hit it. Make the game a lot more exciting at that point.
Yeah.
You believe we're talking Mets and Yankees baseball in the middle of October. Oh, my gosh. Loving it. The reason why I called is for the slow-mo that I see on Aaron Rodgers after every play. Have you guys picked up on that?
Well, of course. I mean, he looks miserable out there.
But the way they do it in a dramatic soap opera slow motion, it's unbelievable. It's every play. You got to pick up on it when you watch the next game. Yeah, can I tell you a quick story of mine from the 2000 World Series?
No.
Why does everybody want to tell us stories today? What is going on?
Yeah. After, and Mo, if that last caller didn't do what he did, I might have given you a chance. But when we let that last caller, who was moment of the day, end up, don't go to the next guy. I only got a minute. When we let that last caller go on and on and on and on, turned into moment of the day, we couldn't do it again. Could not do it again.
I think everybody's having a tough day after this Jets loss last night, but 5 out of the 6 professional teams that played yesterday won. I woke up really happy this morning with a 4-1 Ranger win. I'm sure Islander fans woke up with a very happy morning this morning, scoring 6 goals out there in Colorado.
Yeah.
The Devils shut out the Utah Hockey Club, who came in and beat the Rangers and the Islanders in overtime. Come on.
Well, of course, but you're going to have more of the negative calls every single time.
Yes.
And just like I've referenced this many times when there was some sort of, I think it was some sort of documentary or some story about WFAN back in 2007 when everything was going on and the Giants went on the Super Bowl run and the Mets collapsed. And Francesco was interviewed. He goes, "What the Giants did, Foss, was a 9. What the Mets did was a 10. The negative always wins out." Which sucks. It sucks. Not for us. I'd rather see him. You know, but then again, when that team, that local team wins a championship, I actually think there's more listeners at that point.
Hey, all I know is this, and I've been here for 18 years. When a team goes on a run, and I know what Mike's talking about with the negativity and everything, if the Mets were not here right now, like, just think about how disappointed we would be if the Phillies knocked the Mets off.
Oh, my God. Suck. And now we got this great tied NLCS coming home.
It's great. It's absolutely great. And I love it. I love every minute of it.